kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe, joining as usual, Cole. Cole, how are you doing today?
I'm alive, and I'm in a turkey coma. Like, I barely got myself out of bed today, and I only got up because of the promise of more turkey.
Not for Black Friday?
No, normally I'm really big on Black Friday. Even Kane be damned. Like, I'll be standing at Walmart to get my cheap-ass pajamas. That's usually what I go for, are the pajamas for the girls. Mm-hmm. Because we have a tradition. At this point, I could say it, and even if they hear me, they know that on Christmas Eve, they're going to get Christmas pajamas. It's tradition. And so I go get the cheap-ass ones at Walmart when they're like $4 today. But nice. I didn't get to go because I'm poor. So here we are.
I like how you say Kane be damned, like the Kane isn't a benefit when you're at Black Friday.
It's been problematic in the past because people trip over it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then they give you like shitty looks and stuff.
Tripping quotes. Totally unintentional. Whoops.
You know, Our store, being that it's small, and our store's not small, but it's in a rural area without a lot of people. So we don't have the kind of chaos that they do in the bigger cities. And like, everybody's like, oh, you're going Black Friday shopping, you better suit up with armor. And I'm like, no. I think the only time anything even remotely bad happened, right before they did the ticket system, a guy got punched over an Xbox.
Nice.
And it was like the last Xbox and somebody, and it was 360 days. So, I mean, that was the last time I ever remember anything happening. Most of the time at our store, you can go in and get something Saturday that was a doorbuster and it's still there.
Good God.
I remember a few years ago, I went to get number one, her first Nintendo DS. And I was adamant, like, I'm only going to get this DS if they have one of the pink ones, because otherwise she's not going to be interested in it. Because at the time she was only like 4 or 5, and if something wasn't pink, it didn't help. It was just not a thing.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, to be fair. So she, like, I went, and it was maybe 11:30 or 12 by the time I finally got my mother-in-law moving that morning, and we got up there at Walmart. And I had give up hope that there were even any DSs left, because it was my first time going to Black Friday, and I had called in the middle of the night, and they were like, oh, no, you needed to be lined up yesterday. You're not going to get one of those. So I'm like, okay, well, fine. So I wasn't even hoping to get a DS at that point. And then I was shopping in the clothing, getting the goddamn pajamas I get every year. And they come over the announcement speaker, and they're like, if you would like to purchase a Nintendo DS Lite, we have them available. Please pick up your ticket at the paint counter. And I'm like, fuck yeah. So I go to the paint counter.
Paint counter.
Like, oh. At the paint counter was where you went to get the tickets for the DS.
Interesting.
So I went to the paint counter and I'm like, yeah, I want a DS. And she goes, oh yeah, here's the ticket. And I said, can I pick the color? And she said, yeah, what do you want? And I said, pink. And she goes, we have a few of those. And then she hands it to me, and she's like, okay, now you have to take your ticket and go to the eyeglass counter to pick up your DS to pay for it. And I'm like,
it's a okay. Fetch quest in an RPG.
Yeah, really. You level up by walking across the store. So the thing was, like, they made this big fuss over, oh, no, we're not going to get that many. You're really going to just have to be here and camped out. I get up to the eyeglass counter. I'm the only motherfucker standing there. I have my little ticket for a pink DS, and I show it to the eyeglass clerk, who, bless his heart, is not up for this shit today. And she kind of rolls rolls her eyes and she goes, okay, hold on. And I said, double check that it's a pink one. And she says, yep. And she goes back there. She unlocks the door to the office, to the optometrist's office. And on that motherfucker's desk, to the ceiling, is stacks of Nintendo DSs.
Oh, Jesus.
These cocksuckers told me I needed to be in line days ago. Mm-hmm. And they had enough. They had enough that they could have built a Lego fortress out of them.
Oh, my God.
That was, like, after that, I was never, ever again, like, oh, I have to be there at 3 a.m. to get something. No, fuck that. We got a TV a few years ago. We walked in on a Saturday.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, you're on a TV? Yeah, this is the Black Friday deal. Here you go. Bye.
I guess it's good when you live in middle of nowhere, huh?
I think the longest I've ever gone to get something like that was, there was a year where there were, like, the little Barbie Jeeps. You know, the little, like, Power Wheels cars? Mm-hmm. I got one of those at a Black Friday, at a Black Friday price in January.
Oh, Jesus. What the fuck?
It was just sitting there in the middle of the aisle. And I'm like, oh, that's the Black Friday price. Yeah, nice. It was still sitting there. They had one left. They'd found it and put it out, and there it was.
The same price and all.
Yeah, and they were just like, well, you can't change it in the computer. Here you go.
That works.
Because Black Friday items have a different barcode on them than regular items.
Yeah, they do.
So if something is there and it's still there months later, it's just there at that price, and that's all there is to it.
I remember working at Best Buy, and after Black Friday, any of the games that we would normally carry, we were told to peel the barcode stickers off and sell them for normal price.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very lucky. Our Walmart does not give that many shits. They're just like, whatever.
They're like, if we could get more profit.
Yeah. I think that's just, you know, the benefit of being in a crazy rural area. Like, I think there are more people in some Walmarts today than there are in my entire town. And, like, Jesus. The town next to us.
Well, your town only has 40 people in it. Of course there's more people.
But, like,
at Walmart.
The town where Walmart is, it has 6,000. Nah. So that's where I was trying to go with that. But then I thought, I didn't clear that up enough. And, of course, you caught me on it. But
there's more than 40 people at Walmart today. Holy shit.
There's more than 40 people at most Walmarts in an hour.
It depends what hour. I've worked overnight at Walmart, and it could get pretty dead.
But that's the best part of going to Walmart crazy-ass early. That is the benefit to having kids that get up crazy-ass early, too, for school. Because then I just leave and go to Walmart to do my grocery shopping.
Oh, God.
And there's fucking nobody there.
I feel bad. Like, our one Walmart, or the one I used to live near before we moved, they close overnight now because of theft issues.
For real?
Yeah. They close at midnight and open up at 6.
I didn't know that there were any more Walmarts that closed.
Yeah, there's a couple in our area that do that.
We had one before we got our Super Walmart. We had a regular Walmart, and they closed at midnight and opened at 6. And they were a relic at the time then. Then we got our great big Super Walmart. It's one of the, I don't know why they built one of the largest Walmarts as far as square footage goes, right in the heart of no man's land. Y'all could have put that shit in our town for all that matters, but apparently it does very well because it has no fucking competition for 15 miles.
Hey, that works.
But it had a Kmart right next to it, but of course Kmart went tits up, so.
Our Kmart is still open.
Is it?
Yep.
We have one. And they closed it. And then there's one in my sister's town, which is my original hometown where I was raised. And they're closing it soon, too. So it got caught in this last round.
There's one in my town of Berwick that I live in now. And then where I used to live, Wilkes-Barre, there's two of them up there, actually.
What?
And even crazier is the one got flooded out the one year that we had a really bad flood. And they reopened it.
What?
Yeah, they reopened a store that was flooded and basically destroyed.
That's insanity.
Yeah, Kmart, of all things, reopened a location.
Their Black Friday ad was shit this year, though.
I stopped caring about Kmart ever since they got rid of video games.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, let's see. What kind of news do we have this week?
Was there any news with it being Thanksgiving? Or no. Was just everybody eating turkey? Now, what are you letting me go off on so many tangents?
Here we go. The big news I have. This is actually really cool news. An update went out this week for Carnival Games on all platforms addressing one of my biggest gripes with the game. Do you remember what my gripe was?
No.
It took too long to unlock
too
games.
Yeah.
They reduced the price of all games down to 25 tickets so that it's easier for players to unlock games at a faster pace. Definitely a great update in my eyes and makes it a much better game to get into.
Nice.
Because now after you play one or two games, you could unlock another one.
Hooray! Yeah. That's kind of just the way it should be. If the whole purpose of your game is mini games, then...
Yeah, let it get easier to get into.
Get the mini games, yeah.
The one game was 1,000 tickets to unlock.
How long would it even take you to generate 1,000 tickets?
I don't know. A long time. That was one of the two games I didn't get to unlock.
Damn. Well, now you can.
Yeah, I did. I fired up the game. I unlocked the rest of the games that were locked, and I got my achievement for unlocking all the games.
Very nice.
Ooh. I think it was a 50-pointer, too.
Nice.
Yeah, boy.
Achievements for life.
Let's see, what other news do I have? There's a kerfuffle going on because Spyro, the trilogy, does not have subtitles during cutscenes.
That's going to be in my review.
Shocker.
Yeah. Well, I've mentioned it before, I think, on the show, but I don't hear well out of my right ear. And so I play all games with subtitles on. And it was a bit... Thankfully, you can replay the cutscenes.
Mm.
But I had to do it quite a lot to go back and get things that I had missed or couldn't hear well enough. So, yeah, I hope that you're going to tell me part of the kerfuffle is that they're going to fix that.
Well, they're looking into the situation. There's no confirmation whether they're going to fix it or not. I would hope they would because yeah. People want their subtitles. Like my hearing is fine that I know of. And, I play everything with subtitles as well, just because it's easier if there's something quiet going on or if there's a background character that you can't really hear.
Yeah.
It helps.
I was surprised by it, too, because Activision published Call of Duty as well. And on Call of Duty, for the first time this year, you could turn on subtitles and they even work in multiplayer. And I've never had functioning subtitles in multiplayer before. And I think people hate me for it because I can now hear other enemy players because I wouldn't normally be able to actually audibly hear them. But now I get the alert from the subtitle that there's an enemy behind my ass and I'm going to have to murder him. But it was an interesting change of pace, and then to flip over to Spyro and be like, oh, look, there's nothing. I'm deaf. Help.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that when you're doing the review in a little bit.
Yeah. We'll carry on soon.
we have a question from the audience. No Time for Games is asking, how was your Thanksgiving?
Full of turkey. So much turkey. Have you ever smoked a turkey, Joe?
No.
I made our turkey in the smoker this year. And that motherfucker, David, went to carve it, and it fell off the bone.
Oh, my God.
He didn't even get to put the knife in it. It just went, and Loom. All fell off. And he was like, well, that made my job easier.
My Thanksgiving was kind of rough. I have an abscess tooth again, so.
No, you need antibiotics.
I have antibiotics, but it still sucks when you're chewing on turkey and then all of a sudden your mouth is on fire with pain.
Yeah, it's true. I've been there. Not a good thing. But did you get any other yummy stuff besides turkey?
Mashed potatoes, chocolate silk pie.
It's just taters.
Mashed taters.
There you go.
Corn, green beans. tea biscuits with butter. Oh, God, I love those things. those little biscuits are the greatest thing on the planet.
I don't think I've ever had tea biscuits.
Oh, you gotta look in. They're not really biscuits. They're just like kind of tiny, well, yeah, little mini biscuits.
Mm.
But they're soft bread.
I always make yeast rolls. And my yeast rolls are kind of like family renowned. Because I don't fuck around. After I make the dough and I separate it out for the rolls, then I cover my whole hands in butter. And I roll each ball of dough in the butter before I put it in the pan. And
interesting.
That way when it bakes, those motherfuckers are soft and wet in butter. It's fantastic. And they turn out really, really well. But this year, my oven is broken. And I wasn't able... That's part of the reason why the turkey went in the smoker. I wasn't able to make my rolls the way I normally do. So I buttered them all up. I put them in the pan. And I sent them to my mother-in-law. And I was like, after you take the turkey out, put these in the oven with a pot of boiling water for an hour so that they can rise. And then turn the oven on and bake them. I don't think she did that. Because they were basically like maybe a little bit bigger than the standard size they were when I sent them to her.
Oh, boy.
And she burnt the bottoms of them. I was like, how do you fuck up these rolls? Next year, I'm sending her brown and serves if I don't have an oven yet.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, it was a little disappointing on the roll front, but, and also the lack of an oven meant that I couldn't make the brown sugar pumpkin cheesecake that I make every year. And number one wasn't having any of this shit. So we actually modified our brown sugar pumpkin cheesecake recipe to be no bake. Okay. And it worked out. It worked out. So basically the only thing it takes to make a cheesecake no bake instead of baked is you just don't put the shit tons of eggs in it and you use Cool Whip instead.
Oh, that works.
Yeah. That's the trick. Basically any kind of cheesecake, if you're going to make a cheesecake and like, oh shit, I don't have an oven because you're a redneck like me, or Yeehaw. Oh shit, I don't have shit tons of eggs. Get you some Cool Whip, put that shit in the freezer and there you go. You've got a cheesecake.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Whip.
No.
Whip. Cool Whip. We're making No Time Hungry, so mission accomplished.
Man, I will send you some of my turkey, but I can't promise it wouldn't fall apart in the post. I went to take the leftovers and put them in a plate, put them in the fridge. And literally, I reached in and I picked up the leg of the turkey and it just, the whole leg and thigh falls off.
Nice.
It's like... Damn. I'll never do it another way ever again. Just put that shit in the smoker from now on.
Nice.
Ovens are overrated.
Oh, man. So let's see. What other news do I have? Agents of Mayhem, MXGP3, and Thomas Was Alone are all now part of Game Pass.
Yay. I need to play Thomas Was Alone.
You do. It's an easy 1,000, too.
I keep seeing it on sale for like $3 and I'm going, I'm going to buy that. And then I never do. So now I don't have to. I know. But I'm poor and I'm a cheapskate. So
Bitch. What are you going to do?
There's a resounding theme with me and that's I'm poor. That's okay. I'm a poor redneck. But yeah, I just never got around to it. Whenever I'd have Microsoft points, it wouldn't be on sale, and then I'd get shiny object syndrome and buy something else instead.
Man, that's a term I haven't heard in a long time, Microsoft points.
Yeah, I still call it Microsoft points instead of saying just money on my account.
I like saying Xbox.
Xbox? Yeah. Were that what they were originally called?
No, I just like calling them Xbox.
That was a missed opportunity.
I know, right?
Wow, I'm a little disappointed in the marketing team.
Maybe one day they'll catch on.
That's a shame. It's too late now because we don't even have them anymore.
True. I mean, I still call the money on my account Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense, too, though, because you're just going to spend it on your Xbox. So.
Yeah, Xbox on the Xbox.
It's better than saying Microsoft points, which are completely outdated and shows how old I am.
Oh, man. Last bit of news I have. This is kind of interesting. Stallion83 is the first gamer in the world to hit 2 million gamer score.
That's a lot of achievements.
That is. I know he was the first to hit a million, and then he kind of lost his lead to, I forget Smirnov, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it looks like Stallion took the lead back and first person to hit 2 mil.
That's some serious work, too.
That's a lot of games.
It is. I like that. Did you see where the guy had randomly messaged him? I was like, please let me play with you just once.
Really?
And he gets that kind of shit all the time, and he usually just ignores it. But this time he was like, whatever. And he actually replied, yes. And they set it up, and the guy helped him get one of the achievements.
Nice.
In Halo toward the 2 million.
That's cool.
It was funny because he was like sending in the invites and the party invite and stuff. He's like, boy, I hope I don't regret this.
Did you watch it happen?
I did. Well, I didn't get to see the last actual 2 million. I forget why I got thrown off and didn't watch it. I think I was playing Rocket League with Studa.
Shocker.
Yeah. Well, it's double XP on Rocket League. which would have been my bit of news for the week. We can just go ahead and segue there. But
okay, Rocket League, what's your news of the week?
Rocket League and Call of Duty are both double XP this weekend. Of course, it'll be almost over by the time the show goes up. But yeah, I think you have until Monday morning for both of them.
It's the spirit of giving with double XP.
Yeah. Rocket League also has double drop rates. So you can get the shit that you trade in for the shit that you don't want. And then trade it in for more shit you don't want until you get the ultimate tier of shit you don't want.
Nice.
And the whole drop system in Rocket League is a source of frustration for me. But you can get extra shit now. So
nice. Speaking of the spirit of giving, we have a giveaway to do.
Ooh, do we?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
We've got 3 copies of the game Pizza Titan Ultra to give away.
Nice.
And we asked all of y'alls out there in the SML universe. God, that sounds ridiculous.
The SMLiverse.
The Smelliverse. We asked you to email us and tell us why you want the game. We got 5 people emailing us, so we're going to have to pick 3 winners here.
Oh, boy.
You ready to do these?
I got my paper and my pen.
First email is from Billy P, who says, I can't remember if I've expressed my appreciation for pizza in a previous email contest or not, but just in case I haven't, I like pizza. I like ordering and eating pizza, especially. Occasionally, I may make my own, but there's one aspect of pizza that I've never tried, and that's delivering pizza. And what better way to deliver pizza than a giant robot? Looking at the gameplay for Pizza Titan Ultra, it seems as though it's a fairly efficient way of delivering pizza with an added bonus of being able to destroy buildings occupied by those who perhaps ordered a salad or pasta or maybe even a side dish or two. You think I'm stepping into my robot to deliver anything but pizza? Think again. On another note, I noticed this is from the developers of Starwall, and Starwall makes an appearance in the game, so along with potentially fun gameplay, looks like the game could have a good amount of humor. And a game with humor, good humor, is a game for me. Thanks for the chance. So,
sounds good.
Wants to deliver pizza.
And punch the people who ordered salads.
Because fuck them.
Yeah.
Next email is from Aroto Tomato, who says, can you believe pizza around here is $40? $40. That's outrageous, but it's the only place that makes the type I like. Where the fuck do you live that pizza is $40?
I have questions.
Seriously. Anyway, he says, well, you want a reason why I need this game? Well, shit, here it goes. First of all, mechs are cool, okay? Second, I can't stop thinking about Blast Corps when I look at this game, and that's a positive in my book. I agree there. I also adore the art style. Everything just pops, not unlike a zit. God. But also not gross like one. By the way, did you ever try licking what comes out of a zit? It's basically pudding. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
I like Transformers, too. The good ones, at least. And this game seems tense. And you know me. If there's something my anxiety-filled body loves is tension. Gimme, gimme.
Oh, God.
What the hell do you put for that reason? Pizza pudding. Is $40. Oh, man. Next email is from Dana Mifflin, who says, I got to play Pizza Titan Ultra at PAX West on hard mode. Hard mode involves carrying a 2-year-old all day on your back for like 3 days in a row. Then sitting down to play an amazingly ridiculous game that involves punching into people's homes to deliver pizza while racing against the clock to face and facing off against robots sent to fight you by rival pizzeria. This is all still just kind of hard mode. True hard mode kicks in about a minute into the game when the aforementioned 2-year-old decides it's time to go and starts ripping on my ears in an attempt to get me to stand up and head back to watch the unnamed Goose Game demo again. Needless to say, I opted to keep my ears attached and quit mid-game. I still think I might have made a bad decision. The game was pretty fun. Good times.
And who was that?
Dana Mifflin. Played on hard mode. This is going to be hard deciding.
Yeah.
Shit. I wish I had more codes. Next email is from John Harvey, who says, holy shit, why hadn't I noticed this game before? Isn't it obvious why I'd want a copy? Doesn't everyone? It has giant pizza delivery mechs in it. Who wouldn't want it? It's got kind of a crazy taxi feel to it with the time delivery element, but it really reminds me of Blast Corps. Again, someone else mentioning Blast Corps. A huge big machine running around a destructible city. Aesthetically, it looks similar, and watching the vids, it reminded me of the fun times I spent with that game when I was younger. But this has a bot that runs fast, and has fighting, and aliens, and weird characters, and an amazing title song. And did I mention it has giant pizza delivery mechs in it? They're 10 stories high, for God's sakes. Bet that giant robot doesn't put up with pineapple on pizza. Why is that even allowed? I mean, it's barely acceptable to put pineapple rings on a gammon steak, but to put on pizzas should be an instant slashing offense. Seriously, I'd have social services take the kids of anyone who likes Hawaiian beans. Oh, no. Poor things would be better off in foster care. Anyway, what were we talking about? I'm hungry for pizza all of a sudden. Wonder if I could still get delivery at this time. Good luck, everyone. Thanks for the chance, Joe. You're the man.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord. Pineapple on pizza is awful. Oh, my Lord. Final email from John Prudlow, who says, Dear SML Podcast, a couple months back, I purchased the soundtrack to Pizza Titan Ultra through Bandcamp. Since then, I've jammed out to the songs from the game on more than a couple occasions, but it's just not the same as having the game to go along with the music. I'd love to win a copy so I could enjoy the full experience of third-person platforming awesomeness. Plus, I like pizza. I mean, who wouldn't want their pizza delivered by a giant mech? Thanks for the opportunity. Bought the soundtrack. Man, this is a tough one.
Yeah, it is. I'm gonna go ahead and scratch your Rotom because he's ruined pizza or pudding for me forever, and we can't be friends anymore.
Okay, so no, we got Rodo. Billy, who wants to deliver pizza and punch people who ordered salad. We have Dana, who played on hard mode. John Harvey, who says pineapple on pizza is awful. And John Prudlow, who bought the soundtrack.
I wanna give one to Dana because I have super respect for anybody who plays a game with kids pulling on their ears because I've been there. I've been there, and I know that pain. So give that lady a game.
All right, so Dana wins one. I want to give one to John Prudlow because he bought the soundtrack, because I played it on the show. After a show, I played some of the music, and I guess he picked up the soundtrack that night, which is awesome. So I want to reward that.
Yep.
So we have Billy, who wants to deliver pizza and punch people who ordered salad, and John Harvey, who says pizza on awful or pineapple on pizza is awful.
I have problems here because I like salads and pineapple. I don't like pineapple on pizza, but I do like pineapple.
Oh,
but
man,
I also like salad. I don't like salad on pizza. I can't say that because my favorite pizza is spinach and ricotta. So I do technically like salad on my pizza. Joe, we might have to get out the coin.
Yeah, I have a Fallout coaster. I don't know where my Gears of War coaster is, so I have a Fallout one. With Lucky 38 is Tails, and the Vault Boy is Heads. So heads, we're going to go with Billy. Tails, we're going to go with John.
Okay.
And it is heads.
All so right, then.
Billy is the winner.
Decided by Fallout.
Decided by the Fallout coaster. Oh, Lord.
We're real technical with this shit around here.
That's what we do. And that is what we...
The coaster giveth and the coaster taketh away, because I have lost codes to the coaster before.
I think everybody's lost codes to the coaster. I'm going to see if I could get some kind of prizes to go to Oroto and John as well, because all the entries were really good.
Can we send Oroto some pudding?
No.
Damn it.
But I'll have to look. I might have something else I could give away for them.
All right.
But, oh, man. So I guess it's review time.
It is review time. I have a few. Do you have a few?
I got one to do, and you got six. You have a lot.
It's been a busy week, considering I made a fucking Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, how did you have time for all of that?
The girls are out of school. So I spent a lot of nights up till like 3 and 4 in the morning. So I would stay up until about 3 or 4, and then I'd get up about 8.
Nice.
I would have slept all week. That's what I'm trying to say.
Just gaming and cooking.
Steroids have carried me through this vacation.
Well, you ready to get started?
I am.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is called Spyro Reignited Trilogy, developed by Toys for Bob, published by Activision, released November 13th on Xbox One and PS4 for $39.99. The original Roastmaster is back. Same sick burn, same smoldering attitude, now all scaled up in stunning HD. Spyro is bringing the heat like never before in the Spyro Reignited Trilogy game collection. Explore the expansive realms, re-encounter the fiery personalities, and relive the adventure in fully remastered glory, because when there's a realm that needs saving, there's only one dragon to call. And I'm guessing that's Spyro, yes?
Yes. Somehow, Spyro is the only dragon. Maybe he didn't meet the height requirement. I'm not sure what happened here. But Nasty Nork, who is the bad guy of the Spyroverse, gets pissed off because the dragons are kind of talking shit about him on the news. And so he decides to cast a spell that turns all the dragons into crystals. And somehow, Spyro, being the tiny little dragon that he is, he doesn't get hit by the spell. So it's up to him and him alone to save all of the other dragons. In addition to actually breaking them out of the crystals, he's also got to collect the eggs that the egg thief steal while all the dragons are frozen. And copious amounts of gems. There's just gems everywhere. So many gems.
So many gems.
Which is pretty true to form for a 3D platformer. There's always some kind of gem or coin or something that you're going around collecting for no real rhyme or reason other than to just say you have them.
Yeah, that was the era of 3D platformers having shitloads of collectibles.
Yeah. So, and it's incredibly satisfying, though, when you get every one and it pops up on a level that you've got 100% completion for that level. And I'm proud to say that so far, I haven't completed all the games yet, but so far, every level I have done, I have 100% completion on.
Nice.
Because I'm the fucking best. It's also not fair because I played all of these in their original glory not all that long ago.
What? You played a PlayStation?
Yeah, back when I was pregnant with number one, it was all that we had. And I was on bed rest and I wasn't allowed to move. So I played Spyro and I played all three games. So it's kind of cheating.
How is it cheating?
Because I played them all, so I remember where a lot of hidden stuff was. So it's been very easy for me to get the 100% on the levels, because it's like, yeah, but I remember how to get here.
Well, I guess people know what the Spyro games are, given how old they are. So how is the remaster?
Remasters are tricky, because a lot of times we just see a pretty skin put over what was there. And even still, it's just a few added textures as opposed to a full rework. Spyro, if you have followed any of the promotional material for it at all, you know that it is a full rework of the original game, three games. And it's they've spared no expense. They've skipped no detail. Everything is just gorgeous to look at. And what I found really funny is that as I was playing through it, I felt completely at home because I'd played this game before and I knew where everything was. And in a way, the way that the remaster looks is kind of how you just imagined it looked in the PlayStation days when it was all very, like, the interesting thing about it is, like, the first hour or so I'm playing and I'm going, okay, this just looks like what my head turned all those pixels into 14 years ago. This is what it looked like to me in the first place. And then it kind of dawned on me that how much actual work had gone into making it look as good as it did, because it's easy for your brain to look back at something with nostalgia and say, this is how it looked, when really it was just really grimy, blocky pixels. Whereas this just, it really does blow you away when the reality of how much it's changed kicks into you. There's just, Even the backgrounds beyond the invisible walls, just they just feel like you could fly off and go explore them. You can't, though, because Spyro's got stubby little wings, and he can't fly very far.
That'll teach him.
Yeah, he's pretty limited to where he can coast, which is one of those things that makes the game great, though, because it gives that element of difficulty to the platforming. Where sometimes with platformers, you're like, okay, well, I know I need to get to this area, and you just jump a little couple extra times and you're there. With Spyro, you've got to think of the limitations of how far can he glide, because he's stubby little dude. He can't fly yet. So you got to think about, oh, can he glide and make it that far? Am I going to just fall into the abyss and die? What happens? You have to really be thoughtful about how you're going to reach certain areas. Thankfully, the game is incredibly forgiving. I think that it's one of the most accessible flat platformers. When it comes to a lot of 3D platformers, they struggle with either being so simplistic that it's boring, or being so complicated that it's frustrating and only a handful of people can actually do it. Whereas Spyro just finds that happy medium, and I enjoyed it just as much as my 5-year-old enjoyed it. I gotta quit saying that. She's gonna be 6 in a couple weeks. You know, I enjoyed it just as much as she did, and she was able to figure out how to get to areas sometimes even when I was struggling and I was like overthinking it and couldn't go. Whereas she was just like, duh, it's over there. Climb higher and glide farther, dummy. Yeah. So it was really incredible how they've like managed to find that happy medium to where, you know, both of us can manage things in different ways. We mentioned it earlier in the show, and I do want to touch on the fact, especially because I said it's accessible, but it's really not. Spyro has gone out of its way to fix a lot of the problems that platformers have. One of the options, cameras are shit in platformers 95% of the time. Yeah. Spyro's cameras are incredibly on point. You have the option to go in and set them as passive or active, which I actually play with mine active, even though it's kind of a pain. Because of the whole arthritis thing, it just takes one extra stressor off my wrist to not have to try to control a camera as well.
Yeah.
So those kind of things that they've done makes the game more accessible, makes the game playable for more people, but they did leave out subtitles. And that knocks off accessibility for a lot of people. I have hearing problems. My right ear a lot of what I hear in it is garbled. I have swelling because of my RA. And so I play every game that we play with subtitles if it's an option. And for a game this large to be remastered in this capacity with so much attention to detail, somehow forgo subtitles is disappointing.
Yeah.
Thankfully, if you can hear and you're just harder of hearing like I am, you can replay the cutscenes with the dragons to get what you missed. But if you're deaf completely, you're just out of luck. And that's a shame for, like I said, a game of this capacity and size to be missing out on that. I do hope that they take it seriously, that they address it, that they add in subtitles. I can't possibly imagine how the design decision to forego subtitles came into effect. But it
I want to know how we're not at a point with a universal standard for subtitles in games.
Right. It just blows my mind how we can make so many strides toward accessibility and then some of the most simple things get skipped over.
Yeah.
You know, like we're to a point where we have a full on controller for people to make games more accessible. But you know, sorry to the deaf community, we couldn't add in some words at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
So it was just an odd thing that stuck with me. And like I said, I can hear, I just don't hear well, but I can only imagine how it felt if you couldn't hear at all.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing. And sadly, that's my only complaint about the game. Literally everything else.
Why did you say sadly that's your only complaint?
Well, I mean, because it is a complaint.
But shouldn't you say, luckily, that's the only complaint I have about the game?
Maybe, but it's a big complaint. And I'm sad that that's the kind of complaint that you have to make. You know, as far as accessibility goes, I just want to see a point where the first thing developers say when they're sitting down with their game is, how can we make sure everybody can play it?
Yeah.
And for something like that, it just makes you sad that that's a complaint at all.
True.
Especially when everything else is so good and everything else is so tightly controlled and responsive. I never, you know, died in the game and thought, I can't do this. Or I never thought, you know, I never even saw my daughter go, this is too hard. What am I doing? Like, it was all accessible so long as you can hear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, luckily that's the only complaint, but also sadly that is a complaint.
Yeah. So that's what I was trying to clarify.
Yeah, I guess it does seem a little odd to say sadly.
Sadly, that's the only complaint. I want to bitch about more about the game.
No, because I don't ever want to bitch about your games. I love 90% of the shit that I get to play, but when it comes to accessibility, that is a big thing to miss out on.
Yeah.
Well, and now I'm actually trying to remember if there were colorblind assist, because the gems are red and gold. That's not one that you see more frequently, although you do see it in shooters more these days, but it would probably benefit from colorblind assist if that wasn't there, but I can't remember if I saw it or not. I feel like I would have wrote it down if it wasn't, but
no.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, $40 on this one, 3 games. What do you think of it?
It's still a steal. The games are fantastic. They're so much fun. You can just lose hours running around looking for those damn gems. And I love the game for it. I spent so much time playing Spyro that I had a panic of, oh shit, I have other games to review this week. And then I still was like, but maybe I can play one more level.
Nice.
So I definitely give it a buy it. I really want them to take the subtitles seriously and add those in.
Hopefully they will. I know they said that they are investigating the possibility of adding it. I think it would be the smart and the right thing to do.
Right. It just doesn't... I understand that transcription and everything is not cheap, but it is not difficult in this day and age either. Everybody's got a computer, yeah. You know, so just a little transcription goes a long way.
Hell, reach out to the community and get fan subs or something. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, people would do it. They would gladly.
We are to a point where live streams can have closed captioning. I've seen streams on Mixer and YouTube with closed captioning.
Really?
That's so crazy. If they can set up closed captioning for live game streams, pretty sure the dudes at Activision can help out Toys for Bob and get this done.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Oh, well. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Bendy and the Ink Machine, developed by Joey Drew Studios, published by Rooster Teeth Games, released November 20th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99, Switch for $29.99. Play as Henry as he revisits the demons of his past by exploring the abandoned animator's workshop of Joey Drew Studios. With twists and turns around every corner, Bendy and the Ink Machine is sure to thrill you and decimate your childhood. You'll never look at cartoons the same way again. Cole, tell us about Bendy and the Ink Machine.
It's too spooky.
Too spoopy?
Too spooky. Yeah, this is another one that I've been really looking forward to. Apparently all the shit that I've waited for this year has just decided to hit this week. I'm okay with that. It's been a good week. So Bendy and the Ink Machine, when it was released on Steam, it was a 5-chapter. It was released episodic. It is a horror game. It is first person. It's not episodic on Xbox. We get all the episodes at once. So you get to play through the whole experience. You had to wait a while, but it was worth it. The art style for the game is very sketchy and cartoonish. It takes place in a art studio, Joey Drew Studios. imagine that. Where they've had a successful run of cartoons. If you remember the cartoons, like the original Mickey Mouse and Goofy looking characters from the early days in the black and white, like what was it, 30s when the 20s, original Steamboat? 30s. Yes, 20s and 30s when the original Steamboat Willie come out.
1920s and 30s. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh God.
We got to clarify.
Ugh. Yes, new millennium. this is very similar art style to that the character Bendy was created in the game. It's a little meta that you're talking about an art studio doing an illustration in an illustrated game. One of the things that you're going to encounter is that there's a lot of cardboard Bendy cutouts who they seem very innocuous. They're just there and you're fine and you walk past them and you're like, that's not scary at all. That's just a little cutout of a cartoon character. And then you turn around and that motherfucker is right up in your face. He wasn't there 3 seconds ago. And even though it's got those little jump scares and stuff, they're jump scares that are a little more age appropriate. It's weird to talk about a horror game that can appeal to kids. I suspect I'm going to be going through this same dilemma when Five Nights at Freddy's hit the Xbox. Because originally when Bendy and the Ink Machine came out, it was geared toward more hardcore horror players like me, and that's how it got my attention, and I've been watching it all this time. But somehow it developed a following, and I think it's probably because of the cartoonish art style. It developed a following of fans that are definitely way younger.
Yeah, it kind of gives me the vibe of that Cuphead did.
Yeah, it has that same similar art style, but in a more sepia, muted tone. It is not the brightly colored Cuphead.
Yeah.
But it's that same era that it was drawing inspiration from. But somehow, because of those, I'm assuming because of the cartoonish vibe, it drew in an audience of younger players. And so the later chapters are a little more muted. They still deal, like, Bendy's a demon. And there are satanic rituals going on around the art studio, and there's even some cartoonish character sacrifice going on.
Oh God.
And it's pretty hardcore in the first couple chapters. But then you can kind of tell toward the end where, like, the younger audiences came into play and they dialed it back a little bit. And it's not as harsh, but it's funny because I went into it knowing that that had happened, and I saw the signs of it as I was playing. So, like, in the beginning, you see the little satanic pentagrams drawn on the floor in ink. There's no blood. It's all done in ink because they're cartoon characters.
Yeah.
And you see, you know that there's Bindi is a demon and Alice is an angel. And you know that if you look on the sheet music, when you're in the recording studio, the song from the sheet music is called "The Lighter Side of Hell." And you're like, yeah, in those few moments, you get who the core audience really was.
Nice.
But most of the scares are just an unsettling kind of effect. There are monsters that will chase you, but again, there's no gore. It's just ink. The searchers that will chase after you, they're just ink blobs, and they'll come up out of spilled ink on the floor, and they will chase after you. And if you have a hatchet, which you can pick up in chapter 2, you just whack them with the hatchet, and they'll leave you alone. I don't know that teaching kids to whack ink with a hatchet is the best idea, but it works for the sake of the game. I think that the best part of it is that even though it is a little spooky, you do have the jump scares. I was playing it and number one was watching, and we were able to enjoy it together. And that's not something with horror games. I'm very hit or miss with her. Like, okay, I'll let her play Wick with me, but I'm not going to let her, or Emily wants to play, but I don't let her play like Outlast, you know? So yeah. It was nice that this was dialed back enough that, you know, she enjoyed it as opposed to actually being scared by it, even though there were the little jump scares and like you're casually exploring and then just poof, there's a Bindi that popping out around the corner.
Peek-a-boo.
Yeah. And so it was a lot of fun. I thought the story was really great. I was really impressed with how they tied it together. One of the biggest things with watching a game for a whole year and watching through its development, but avoiding any of the spoilers is really fucking difficult. And I was pleasantly surprised with the actual story and how it turned out. And I was not let down at all. It was worth the wait.
Nice. So $20 on this one. What do you think of it? Well, $20 on
definitely
Xbox and PS4, $30 on Switch.
Is it really more on Switch?
Yeah, because there's a physical Switch version. It's
that's
the Nintendo
right.
tax.
That's true. Yeah, it's definitely still worth it. And I think the fact that even though we had to wait, we get the whole game all in one whack. I'm not mad about it at all. And it's one of the best things that there's a couple of, there's quite a few actually missable achievements on the Xbox, but there is chapter select and you can go back. You don't That's have good. To replay the whole game. That is something that so many horror games fuck up. They will put a horrible collectible in there that you have to scare the wits out of yourself to get. And if you miss it, you've got to replay the whole game. Bindi gives you a little bit of breathing room here. You know what? Kids like the game. Give them some chapter select.
Nice.
Everybody needs chapter select.
Yeah, games really should have chapter select.
It's just, it's like subtitles at this point. They should just fucking be there.
Yeah. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Project Hi-Rise Architects Edition, developed by SomaSim, published by Calypso Media, released November 13th on Xbox One, PS4, and Switch for $39.99. Experience a deep, complex simulation of a modern skyscraper. Create gleaming office high-rises to attract business leaders from around the world. Construct urban apartments in the sky with penthouses for the rich and famous. Keep travelers and tourists happy with soaring hotel towers. From the moment you break ground, every decision rests with you. Success is entirely in your hands. Cole, did you succeed?
I've made a pretty impressive fucking tower. I'm so proud of myself. It took me about 7 tries of scrapping my saves and starting over.
Oh, God.
And that's because there's not a lot in the way of a tutorial. Like, shit just happens and you really don't know how to fix it. And that can be a little daunting because it is a micromanagement simulator. And you've got to pay attention to the tiniest of details. If you have offices that need electricity, then you need to put in an actual transformer, and it can only contain so many taps before it just doesn't have enough energy and you have blackouts. So then you need to go in and put in more. You can't just build a building anywhere. You have to actually construct the floors of your tower. Then you need stairs, and people get tired of climbing up stairs if you have too many stairs. Then you need elevators. Then you have a hotel. You need service elevators, and that's the one that fucked me up the most time and time again. Because I would build, oh, I've got elevators, la, la, la. And then I'm just like, destination cannot be reached by cart. And I'm like, fuck, just go clean the rooms, housekeeping. I'm so confused. Figure it out. All you need is a rag and a mop anyway. What are you doing?
Get your shit together.
I just thought I had really lazy housekeeping staff. So I started putting housekeeping on every floor because I couldn't figure out what the fuck I was doing wrong. But then you can't even just do that because that costs money. You have to pay that staff. And so they have a daily output as well. And housekeeping and services like that, they don't pay rent because you need them to get renters. So then that space you're allocating for housekeeping or for bottling services or for storage space for shops, that space you're not monetizing. And you have to decide the best way to go about making the most money out of what little space you have. There are different degrees of difficulty that you can set it up for. I'm going to go ahead and admit that I played it on beginner mode and I still struggled. I don't know that I will ever reach this game on higher difficulties, and I am okay with that. I do enjoy it. I had such a good time just sitting there and constructing my tower, but there were a lot of times where I just was like banging my head against the wall because I couldn't figure out why I was losing money or what was costing this or that. There's so much that can go on, that there's so much that can go wrong. And at no point is there like a little tip box that comes up and says, hey, dumbass, you have a blackout. You need more transformers.
Yeah.
You just have to hope that you catch whatever tiny little square has a blinking electric bolt in it because they have no power. And it can be really easy if you're like me and you get overzealous and you build your tower from border to border like a dumbass. Then you're like panning back and forth. Play that shit. Like, I would have to literally sit and pause the game and then just scan back and forth from floor to floor. Does everybody have power? Good. Does everybody have electricity? Fantastic. Does everybody have phones? No. Shit. And then you can't just like, you have to manage your money. So you can't just put power lines and phone lines from end to end on every floor. Some businesses don't need gas or HVAC. So if you go and you put it where those businesses are, you're wasting your money. Yeah. So then you need to think about putting your businesses closer to the types of outputs and inputs that they need. And it all becomes a micromanagement, not just of your money and your resources, but also how you're placing things in the building. Some businesses don't like to be near smells. And if you've got a trash can at the end of the floor and you put a tech company down there, they're going to be pissed at you because it's going to stink. So then you have to go in and make sure that you've left enough space on the end so that you can put a door that blocks the smells. You really have to think of everything because the game won't tell you that it happens until you fucked up.
Yeah, a lot of planning, a lot of strategy required.
Yeah. So don't be afraid. Like, if you're going to go into this, you can't be afraid of fucking it up. You have to just, like, resign yourself to the first 7 or 8 towers are just going to suck.
Embrace failure.
And then you catch on and you're like, no, now I know that, okay, this is how I build you know, for a hotel, and this is what I'm going to need, and this is how I build for apartments, and this is what they're going to need. Laundry services, they're all going to need laundry service. But my biggest complaint with it is just that there's not enough hand-holding in the beginning to get you started. Like, if you're playing on beginner mode, there should be a little more to help you say, okay, you have a brownout, here's what you do. But it really just throws you in feet first. It throws you in head first. And it's like, good luck, bitch.
Have fun.
Yeah, but once you do figure it out, you're going to have a blast. There's different types of currency. The way that you build your tower affects the tower's prestige. It affects the tower's influence. It affects how much media buzz you can generate. Then you turn around and you use those things to buy upgrades to make your tower more awesome. So if you get enough prestige, you can call in some performers to come and have some events, and you can have you can run media campaigns so that you generate more buzz, so that more people come see your performers that you've paid a fortune to get to come to your tiny hotel. You know, it's really a lot of fun once you figure out the basics.
You're just going to stumble at the start and try figuring out what you're doing.
But once, if you stick with it and you finally figure out how everything is going to fall, and what you need to take into consideration as you build, then you're going to have a lot of fun. My last tower that I've been working on is full-fledged badass. Like, it's got a bus station, it's got a metro station, it's got a train station in the basement.
You're like, not fucking around.
I'm not fucking around, because you don't just build up, you build down as well, because certain items have to be below the ground floor.
Yeah.
Other items have to be above it. So just as you progress and you stick with it and you learn what you're doing, you get to unlock some really cool shit and really have a lot of control over how your tower looks. And, you know, you can pay for an interior decorator and deck your building out with really cool art and, you know, giant signs to draw attention to when you've got events going on. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. So $40 on this one. What do you think of it?
The price feels a little high, but there's especially with that sharp learning curve at the beginning.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot to keep you coming back to it. There's even scenarios that you can play out, which kind of gives you different guidelines and limitations for how you can build. So if you find you're having too much luck building your own tower on hard, go play a scenario and watch yourself cry. But I definitely give it a recommended try. It micromanagement sims aren't for everybody, but this is definitely a good one.
Yeah, I agree. It could do with some more hand holding, but otherwise really solid stuff.
Just stick it out, because it does get worth it.
Embrace the failure, like I said. Just enjoy it. Know that it's going to happen. Move on and just learn from it. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Squishies, developed and published by Brain Seed Factory, released November 20th on PlayStation VR for $24.99. Get lost in a cheerful world full of adventures. Squishies is a single-player puzzle platform experience built exclusively for PlayStation VR. Solve puzzles and save Squishies, or be creative and build your own levels and share them with the community. Squishies is a really, really cool, adorable game. The way it works is you have to get your squishy from the beginning of a level to the end of a level with the power of air. You have to use the two move controllers. This requires two move controllers, one in each hand, obviously. If you pull the trigger on the move controller, it blows air. If you press the T button, I think it's called the T button, the thumb button, if you press that, it sucks air. And the squishies are tiny little blob-like creatures that roll around everywhere, and you have to blow them or suck them. Oh, God, that sounded terrible.
I'm listening, but I don't really know how to respond right now.
You have to push them around with air. You have to blow them around or suck them around. The levels to get from the beginning point to the end point, pick up collectibles and crystals along the way, and get to the end and succeed and move on to the next level. There's about, I want to say, like 80 levels in the game. There's a ridiculous number of levels in this game spread across 4 or 5 different worlds. I can't remember exactly how many. And it's really, really cool how it integrates using the Move controllers to push around these little creatures. To, it's kind of like Super Monkey Ball, but instead of controlling the tilt of the level, you're pushing them around with air. Okay. If you're familiar with Super Monkey Ball.
I think I've seen like screenshots of it, but that's about it.
You gotta play Monkey Ball.
I know. Monkey Ball's some good shit. I miss out on a lot of good stuff.
One of the downsides with squishies is levels get tough quick. Like within the first 10 levels, you're going to be dealing with like single block wide platforms going across these deep chasms and just endless water that you have to just slowly maneuver across and try to get around. The crystals that you have to collect, you obviously don't have to collect all of them, but if you're a completionist, you're going to want to collect all of them. Mm-hmm. They can be hidden in some really, really tough to find places. The good thing is you can use the Move controllers, the X and O buttons on them to, you press them down. If you press them both on both controllers at the same time, you can like shrink or blow up the size of the level. I would usually shrink it all the way down so it's easier to see everything.
Yeah.
Plus, otherwise, if you're zoomed in too much, you're going to blow the character a little bit and then drag and move. I don't know how else to put it.
I tried so hard not to take one.
I don't know how else you're going to push the character around and then drag the level to pull it towards you and then push them again, drag the level, push it again, drag the level, push it again. So when you're zoomed out, you have a better view of everything and it's easier to push them around or pull them around without having to move too much, which brings me to one of my other complaints with the game, but this isn't a fault with the game itself. Every time I do a PlayStation VR review, I always find a way to bitch about the quality of the PlayStation VR because of one reason, and that is the shitty PlayStation camera. Ugh. It doesn't have a wide enough lens to really allow you to get where you need position-wise. Like, if you're trying to blow something towards you by holding the controller away and pointing it towards you, there's a good chance that your arm is going to block the camera from seeing the bulb and your controller is just going to go flying around the screen because it can't detect where it is. I would love to see this on a VR that has better room view that can like see where everything is positioned. I keep saying I want to see VR with the Kinect.
Yeah.
Because the Kinect has a really good camera that can detect depth and everything else. And the camera with the PlayStation VR is just not good enough for what you need it to do a lot of times. And that's a bummer because the game is a lot of fun. It's a gorgeous game. It looks really cute. The sounds are good. The music is nice. The fact that they have level creation is really, really good, that you could share levels. So it's basically an endless game, which is always good.
Yeah.
A lot of content there to justify the price. Price is a little bit on the higher side, but VR tax. So that's going to happen. It's a lot of fun. It's just the difficulty of trying to push and pull the things the way you want it to go is going to be a little bit difficult. And then dealing with the tracking of the camera is going to be the other hurdle. But if you could get around that, if you have your room set up really well that you don't have the issues I have with VR, which, by the way, I wish games would have a way to like check where your camera is in the game instead of having to quit and then start the game up and see what the camera sees.
Yeah.
Just so you could like calibrate on the fly if need be, stuff like that. I wish more games had the capability to calibrate your camera in the game.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because I would try tilting it a little bit, but I have no idea where it's pointed because I can't see what the camera sees. And then I guess my last little gripe with the game is I wish it had a pause. There were there were levels where I'm trying to position the world and get everything set up right. And because there's no pause in the game, the timer's just running. So I spend like 20 minutes on a level that should take me about 10 just because there's no way to pause it and, you know, maneuver my camera or move furniture around my place so I could get in a better position.
Yeah. That's odd to not have a pause button.
I know. And unless I'm missing it, I tried pushing all the buttons on there and I didn't find anything. So unless I'm missing something or who the hell knows, like Kinect, how you used to have like one arm out to the side and one pointing down.
Yeah.
To pause a game. I don't know if it has something like that in there, but yeah, other than that, the game is a lot of fun, really good looking, really enjoyable. It's probably one of the better VR games I've played in quite a while. And the fact that there is so much content makes this an easy buy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just have a better setup than Joe.
Yeah, pretty much. I can't get, and again, I'm going to blame the PlayStation camera because it's a shitty $50 camera that just doesn't detect depth and it's needed. They need some kind of better camera to go with the PlayStation VR. I think it is such a cool device and has such unlimited potential. It just needs better equipment.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Fucking PlayStation.
Yeah, fucking PlayStation. You got to find a way to get your dig in, don't you?
I did. It was fun, too. I'm proud of myself.
Anyway, next game to talk about, I know you're excited about this one, is called Farming Simulator 2019, developed by Giant Software, published by Focus Home Interactive, released November 20th on Xbox One, PS4, PC for $49.99. Farm like never before with Farming Simulator 19. The multi-million selling franchise takes a giant leap forward in 2018 as the ultimate farming simulation returns this year with a complete overhaul of its graphics engine. 19 offers the most striking and immersive visuals and effects to date. Cole, tell us about Farming Sim 19.
Farming Sim 19 has pulled out all the stops. I have some pretty standard fare complaints about previous Farming Sim games. One was that you were pretty limited to your character. Just what he had, a dude, he was a farmer. That's all you had. Farming Simulator 19 doesn't just let you customize your character's appearance, which you could do at 18, but they straight up let you change the gender. So for the first time ever, you can be a female farmer in Farming Simulator 19.
I'm sure you were excited.
I'm so happy. Like, I know that's such a stupid thing, but when you're playing a game like this and you get to create a character who represents you, or even if you're just like decking it out with purple hair and being silly about it, you get to express yourself with your character. But when you're a female who plays games that are fairly dominated by a male customer base, you miss out on that a lot. And Farming Simulator, I don't know. There was just never, I guess, players like me didn't make enough noise. We didn't have a female character, and it's just the way it was. So I'm really excited to see that, yeah, they switched it up. You can have a female character now. You can choose different skin tones for your character. You can choose, which I think is also new. I think you were always just stuck with a white boy before. And now you can really shake it up and create a character that's a little more true to you. Which is, I always give high marks for that. That's important to me. I know a lot of people don't care. I do.
I know you love your female characters.
It's important to have representation in video games. There are three different modes that you can play on. There's the new farmer, which is a tutorial mode. It starts you out in the Ravensport map, which is in the U.S. Gives you a little more handholding, tells you where to go, shows you how to use the basics of the game. If you've never played a farm simulator before, this is really important because this game takes simulator very seriously. You have to actually manage your equipment. It gets dirty. It needs maintenance. You have to actually hook up your tractors to the appropriate equipment to plow the fields and disc the fields and sow the fields and harvest the fields. you better have a truck ready to go sitting by your harvester, because if you let that harvester go, you're just going to have a shit ton of your product laying on the ground. Your crops wilt over time. You have to plant and fertilize all in the appropriate time spans. There is little room for leeway when it comes to the simulator aspect of this game. Which is great. That's what you want. When you're playing a game called Farming Simulator 2019, you want it to hit the simulator aspect on the head.
Yeah.
And it does. But you're definitely going to want to play that tutorial mode if you have not played one of these before. There are two other modes as well. One is the Farm Manager Career Path, which gives you a little bit of money to start with, but you don't own any land. If you start with the new farmer, you already have land and buildings and some equipment to start with. Farm Manager is for those who are a little more experienced. They want to buy their own land. They want to buy their own equipment. They know what they're getting into. And then there's Start from Scratch mode, which is super mega hardcore for for people like my husband who do this shit too damn much.
How did he like the game, by the way? Because I know I'm sure he played it quite a bit.
He played it. I didn't play it. He played it. All my notes about the game are his. I got to play the cheater. Tutorial. I got to play the tutorial and make a female character. And then the rest, I was like, I need you to help me.
And then you were never allowed to touch the game again because never he wouldn't again. Let you.
He has it installed on both Xboxes. Nice. So that if I'm playing a game for review and I'm smacking his hands away and won't let him take the controller, he can just go like and pose on our daughter's room and play on her Xbox surrounded by hot pink walls.
Daddy, I'm trying to sleep. Shut up.
Serves him right.
Gotta harvest corn.
He's not just harvesting corn, though, because there's so much more you can do. We've seen animals be added in to the previous Farming Simulator games. So this one's no different. They bring back the cows and the sheep, although there's far more that you can do with them. There's more interactivity with the animals, which is nice to see. And they've also added in horses. Horses!
Yay!
In Farming Simulator! Fucking finally! It's awesome, because you don't just buy the horses and put them in the field. In the past Farming Simulators, I did mention that this one is more interactive, but in the past, you set up the pen, you bought the animal, it magically poofed into the pen, and you took care of it, you fed it, you made sure it had its needs filled, but you didn't interact with them in any kind of way. Any kind of like going through the process of breeding them and stuff was all done through menus, and you didn't really like have any hands-on experience or animations with the animals. Not this time. You actually have to train the horses, and you train them by riding them and teaching them to jump and riding them around. It's like my horse and me, but better. It's actually good because you can actually ride the horses around, and the more time you spend with them, the more it trains them, and they get broke to ride. And you're not just putting them in the pen. They're pretty decorations in the background that you have to feed every now and then.
How dare you besmirch the name of my horse and me, too.
I didn't say it was a bad thing. I guess I did. I said it was better, didn't I?
Yeah.
I mean, it's more interactive and realistic. That's
good cover. Good cover.
Yeah. Nailed it. Oh, cannot say bad things about the most expensive game you will ever buy for the 360.
Oh, shit. I still want that game, by the way.
Are you jelly? Because she streamed it recently. Did you watch?
Oh, yeah. I played it years ago. I just want to own it.
Oh, yeah. It's good luck. I think it's about $120 on eBay now.
Yep.
It's not a cheap game. But this is a good fill-in. If you cannot afford My Horse and Me 2, well, now there are horses in Farming Simulator.
Yay! At half the price.
At half the price. And more interactive.
And better looking.
And better looking. Plus, the really cool thing is, like I said before, you bought the animals and they kind of just poofed into the pen. You can still pay to have them transported to your pen for you, but if you want to, you can get in your truck. You can hook up to a horse trailer. You can go to another farm and buy the horses, load them into the trailer, and take them back.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, you can take the shortcut and have them delivered to you. But if you really want to play like a simulator and go all out, that's there. That's an option. You can really, you know, dive deep into that and do that kind of shit. There are two different maps to play on. I already mentioned Ravensport, which is in the U.S. It looks pretty much like every Midwestern farm. but there's also, I'm going to fuck up this pronunciation. I know it. Felsbrunn. It's in Holland. So that's an interesting change of pace if you want. There's not anything as far as like different campaigns that happen. The campaign events that come up for story mode where like the neighboring farmers ask you to do stuff. It's not really changed depending on which map you play. It's just that it's just different scenery, basically.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's still a different map. It's got a different layout. You have to plan how you're going to plant your crops a little differently. The close-up textures of the game are fantastic. When you're like looking at the equipment, it's like you're looking at a picture of a piece of equipment. The detail is second to none. But there are some texture problems that creep in. I don't know if this is an Xbox One S thing or if it's like this way on the X as well. Unfortunately, I don't have a way to like gauge the differences because I do play on an S. But as the draw distance expands, the textures for the trees and stuff, they get a little blocky looking and they're not the clearest. You're probably not going to be paying a whole lot of attention to that. I didn't find myself wistfully gazing into the hills because there's horses to feed. Excuse me. I've got to go feed my pigs. I don't care what the hill texture looks like, but it is a problem for some people. And it's a thing that does happen. And it may only be an S issue. I don't know. As far as the equipment goes, there are 300 different pieces of equipment. And Joe, this might not mean anything to you, but my little nerd farmer husband was so excited because we finally have John Deere equipment.
Yay.
A brand I recognize. I know some of the other brands, but nothing runs like a deer. So I was pretty excited to see for the first time ever that Farming Simulator has a license with John Deere. And you can have John Deere equipment on your little farm if you want nothing but John Deere. Can go for it. You can do that. It's all there. There are 300 different pieces of equipment. Like I said, you're not going to run out of things to play with. This is basically like a farmer and their toys just having a good old time on the farm, digging in the dirt. There is so many pieces of equipment that you can just break out of. Like, my husband was just having fun dragging stuff out and cleaning it. I don't understand. I mean, I was more enamored. Lord, I'm tired. Yeah. Enamored by, like, the animals because I went to school for veterinary medicine, and so that's kind of the stuff that I was focused on when I was playing the game. But my husband is just like, look at this, and it has this kind of horsepower, and it does this, and you have to pay at least that. And I'm sitting there going, I don't understand you. You are speaking farmer ease, and I have lost it. I don't understand this language. But oh, it was Lord. A lot of fun. I also want to add that there is multiplayer co-op. You can have your friends come and farm away with you. You can have private games just locally hosted, but if you really are into it, and this is the kind of game that you're going to find yourself playing for a long period of time, and you have a group of buddies up to six who you might see having a long-running game session with, rent a dedicated server.
Oh, that's cool.
You can rent a dedicated server and have your own little farming neighborhood with up to six of your buddies all farming away together. And that's really fucking fantastic when you think about it. I wish that some of my buddies were more apt to play this, because I would make them farm away with me and I would just play with the horses all day. Yeah, I think that's all my notes on it too.
Cool. So,
yeah, 50
bucks. 50 bucks. What do you think of it? Or what does D think of it?
We're going to give it a cooperative buy it. It was just a lot of fun. We actually played the co-op. And then he sat and talked to me about shit I didn't understand. I was like, just leave me alone with the horses and the chickens. But it's a lot of fun. If you're really into the simulators, just be aware going into it that it doesn't play with the term simulator, and that there can be a pretty steep curve on some of the equipment and how to use it if you're not already familiar with it.
Gotcha.
But it's fun.
Nice. We got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called NeuroBlocks, developed by Alessandro Beneditini. Hopefully, I'm butchering that name. I know
Good
I am.
Job.
Beneditini, I'm going to go with. Published by Digentis, which another name I'm sure I absolutely butchered. Digentis?
I don't know if it's Digentis or Digentis.
Digentis?
Diganis, maybe. Diganis sounds right. We're going to roll with that. Go for it.
Sounds good.
We're good.
Released November 21st on Xbox One for $6.99. Just imagine to be engaged in a frenetic shoot 'em up action and at the same time have to apply the logical and strategical skills typical of puzzle games. Think, react, and shoot in a hurry to survive. You'll be simply forced to stretch your gyrus to the limits. Cole, tell us about NeuroBlocks.
NeuroBlocks stretched my gyrus. I don't know what it is, but it got stretched. So this is basically, I can't help but want to like compare it to Space Invaders. You have the aliens coming down from the top of your screen, but your ship is not at the bottom. Your ship is actually on a line about midway, and you have the ability to move back and forth, left to right, and you can shoot, and you can shoot down on the aliens that are falling. But there's not just aliens. There are also blocks. Now, if the aliens hit the line, NeuroBlocks. If the aliens hit the line midway, you lose points. But that's the worst of it. If you don't shoot the blocks, they fall through the line and all the way to the bottom of the screen. Now, you need to get those colored blocks to fall in such a way that they line up to make lines of three or more. So it's almost like a Tetris or a match three type game. But as opposed to moving those blocks in any kind of way, your only defense against keeping blocks of the wrong color from falling and messing up your pattern
is shooting them.
Is to shoot them and blow them out of the sky. So shoot them. Shoot them all. Which is what I did for a really long time until I was like, oh, shit, I need those to fall down there. Because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But if you want to get the blocks of certain colors to line up, and that's really the long and short of it. That's the main gameplay mechanic. Now, you can play two different ways. You can play survival mode, which is just endless loop of enemies and blocks, and make it as long as you can, get as much score as you can. Or you can play levels, and the levels actually throw some wrenches in your plans. Sometimes there are spikes. Sometimes there are really big spikes. There are just things that will be in your way to try to make the game harder for you. You can, unlike Space Invaders, you can make your ship jump. And you do this by LB to jump left and RB to jump right. Unfortunately, this is not the most responsive mechanic to ever see a game. And there were a lot of times that I would press jump and I would still land in spikes, or I wouldn't jump far enough, or I would have jumped too soon and still just fall and die.
Yep.
And you can have a really good run where you're just kicking ass and taking names and then fuck it up very easily. And I got to a point where I was like, I am not enjoying level mode because it's just, I cannot rely on this jumping to be effective. And I enjoyed survival far more, even though it got pretty hectic because after so many after so much time or so much score, I couldn't really figure out what the trigger was, but it would eventually say new level and it would go faster. And I just found that I enjoyed that more because there wasn't shit getting in my way as often. but I just was really irritated with the poor jumping mechanic. Just, and it throws it right out of the gate too. Level one, right there. Ta-da, here's stuff. And it never tells you you can jump. I just figured it out on my own after crashing into the spike 74 times.
Yeah.
It was an accident. I bumped the controller and I was like, what did I just do?
Yeah, this is a hectic game. I put some time into it myself. The jumping mechanic, I didn't even bother with because mm-hmm. it felt so unreliable. So I would just, you know, not travel any further than the spikes would allow me to.
Yeah, I tried that too, but then I found that sometimes I would be going back and forth so quick that I wouldn't let off of the button fast enough, and I would still just hit a spike.
Yeah, I kind of wish the spikes weren't there. I would rather just be able to travel back and forth to my heart's content and not have to worry about trying to micromanage these poor jumps in an otherwise really cool game.
Like, I can't imagine. I didn't even think to like test out the spikes and see how bad it was on hard.
I just played on easy. Yeah, I didn't mess with the difficulty at all.
Now I'm regretting it because I wanted, if I hated the spikes so bad on easy, what were they like harder?
Oh, Lord. Maybe it just moved faster on harder. Who knows?
Maybe.
Or more colors. See, we did our in-depth duty of checking the game on all difficulties.
I'm sorry. I very rarely check the games on all difficulties.
It kicked our ass on easy.
Yeah. And it's, I want to say, I'm not hating on the game in any way. I did have fun playing the survival mode. It's just that, boy, that was fucking hard for the levels. And I just didn't even, sometimes you have to know your limits with a game and just be like, I can't go here.
Yeah. Something we do have to point out, which I love about this game, it has odd numbered achievements.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that. The first one you get in the game is going to be a one pointer, I'm sure.
And I was like, well, that's that. I was so proud when I managed to get my achievements to end in a zero or a FAF after like 8 years. And then like the very next game I played odd all over again. And good. I've not been back since. I think I'm sitting on an 8 right now.
Good.
Sad face. Although it would be cool if I could get a palindrome gamer score. I'd be down for that. Maybe with the help of this game, if I can keep playing it on easy.
If you can survive.
If I can survive. I actually did really well at survival mode. I think a terrible part was I was doing better at it before I realized I was supposed to be making lines with the blocks. Once I started trying to do that, that's when I fucked up. When I was just shooting everything, it was so much better.
Yeah, it's tough. It doesn't give you a lot of room to see what's dropping, and you have to make decisions really quick on the fly. It's really cool. Yeah,
and some of the blocks are actually boosted and fall even faster. So good luck to you.
Yeah. So overall, $7 on this one. What do you think of it?
I do give it a try. It's a lot of fun, but man, it's tough. And you need to go into it knowing that it's going to fuck your feelings up and that you need to have some hardcore reaction time ability and that maybe just don't even bother trying to jump.
I want to see that box quote in a trailer for the game. It's going to fuck your feelings up.
Yeah. I've said that for a few games and yet none of them have seemed to appreciate it yet.
One day we'll get quoted again in a trailer. It'll happen.
It's going to be me with it'll fuck your feelings.
It'll have to be an M-rated game.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, man. But that is it for this episode. It's been a fun one. It was longer than I thought it would be given there was no fucking news this week.
Long-winded. I can't help myself.
Yeah, we just chat. Episodes where we could just chat for a bit and then you just go on and on and on.
Are you being sarcastic about liking that?
No, I like it. I kind of wish I could talk more, but like I had a story I was going to tell of when I worked at Walmart for Black Friday, but you just went on And
I do.
I forgot about the story.
You know what it is that I get nervous when we're recording the show, and I'm a nervous talker. So the more nervous I am, the more I just ramble.
How are you still nervous with the show? You've been on it for how long now?
That's what social anxiety does to you.
I say that like I don't also get anxious during shows sometimes.
Like I get, before we hit record, I've got butterflies in my stomach and I keep a bucket nearby in case I puke. And it's been like, literally, I'm almost at a year and a half, maybe more of this.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I could barely remember last week, let alone last year.
It's been a while. And I just, there's times where I'm like, can I phone it in? Can I just like type my responses to shit and not talk? So then I get anxious about filling dead space and start talking randomly. And then before you guys know it, you know my life story. And I think if you piece together enough episodes, you'd probably get my whole address.
I don't think you've ever mentioned a house number.
Yeah, I did. I remember we were talking about the 911 system and how it's
only
measured to your mailbox. Yeah. So I've done it like over the course of maybe a dozen episodes randomly scattered through the 430 something we've done. You could probably piece out my whole address.
There you go. The first person who could email us at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com and give us Cole's correct home address will win a prize.
Good luck, you sorry saps.
Enjoy listening to the show, fuckers. But yeah, that is it for this episode. Music, I have no idea what I'm going to... I don't even know why I bring up music anymore, because I just pick random shit and play it. Maybe I'll do some more Mega Beardo from his new Belmont 2 album, which is really good, by the way. Y'all should pick that up.
Sounds good.
So, yeah. Do you have any final words to end the show?
No, I've already rambled on excessively. I'm going to go eat some fucking turkey. I'm going to go eat some fucking turkey. That's my final words.